Good afternoon, everybody. It's Joel Whitaker, the editor of Kane's Beverage News Daily. We're delighted to have you with us, and we're delighted to have Mark Young, the founder and chief executive officer of Beer Board, with us. Mark, how are you, and where are we talking to you from?
I'm in Syracuse, New York, doing well despite the obvious, but happy to be on. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Tell us in just a few words a little bit about Beer Board for anybody who may not know what Beer Board is, although it's hard to believe they don't at this point.
Yeah, Beer Board is we're focused on beer for bars and restaurants, where we help them, you know, from every aspect around the bar, focused on beer, from merchandising, get it on the menus, from to ordering, to tracking, and helping them with overall inventory management. So it's a full end-to-end solution for bars.
Terrific. And you've been, of course, watching the impact of the coronavirus epidemic or pandemic on your customers, I know, and I believe you have some data for us, right?
Yes, we, you know, with our business, we cover anywhere from an independent, you know, Irish pub or neighborhood pub to the largest national accounts in the country. So, yeah, we have quite a bit of data that really spans across the country. You know, what we saw, Joel, was obviously with this, you know, really unprecedented crisis, we could actually watch, because of what we do, we have data that flows in real time, so we can kind of see, you know, whether it's hour by hour or day by day, we can see what trends are happening in the marketplace. So this one specifically, we looked at as this crisis unfolded in different parts of the country. It started in really in, you know, close to us, about 4 hours away. New York was hit the hardest, and, you know, about Seattle and California. So we could see the impact of this crisis in different parts and across our whole whole platform of customers. So, you know, really what we saw in the first week, we probably mark it at March 16th is really where we kind of say week one was Sunday, that week before St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw across all stores, you know, in week one is about 22% lost volume, mainly though that was hitting some of those initial hard hit areas like New York, California, Seattle. But by week two, I mean, this spread pretty quickly. By the end of week two, so that March 23rd week, we saw it, you know, hit national level, 78% decline in volume from 2019, the same week of 2019.
Right, and that's really a very significant and sharp drop. And let's talk about some individual segments if we can. In the Northeast, as you said, that was the first area to see this massive decline. Do you have any idea? Do you recall what the number was for that? And then can you pull out the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut metropolitan area?
Yeah, I mean, it was about if you remember the first week, they started phasing in the occupancy to cut occupancy by 50% of the capacity. So
mm-hmm.
We started looking at that initially. It kind of built day by day. It was in that, you know, 30% range in the first couple days. And then, you know, then they phased in some more aggressive protocols. And I think overall the media and some of the awareness grew, we could see it steadily decline in that New York, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. We saw really a decline that went from about 30 to over 50% in a couple of days. And by the end of the week, you could see it's about 80, you know, about 82%.
Mm-hmm. So that's a dramatic decline, and probably as you watched it, you probably had a sinking feeling in your stomach as you watched it go down.
Yeah, and really for us, we're close partners with the bar operators, and you know, so you really feel, you know, you feel bad. We want to do what we can to help them, but you know, you're talking a lot of staff and owners that are hit hard. It's very emotional times, especially that first week or two. You know, these are operators that have quite a few employees, and they've been hit with a devastation really for their own personal personal life and their business, as well as all their employees. So it was a real emotional time, and it's definitely not a good feeling. And, you know, what we're doing at Beer Board is really trying to regroup and see, you know, how can we help them bounce back.
Sure. Now, how about California? Were they basically on the same trend line, and were their numbers about the same, or?
Yeah, it was very similar. I mean, it's something unique, obviously, for us to track. It's not what we're not necessarily looking at it day to day.
Right.
From the prior year. So we kind of spun up some quick analytics and some insights that we could pull along the way, and could kind of look at this just so we were in the loop with our customers, right? So we can help them and support them. But it was a very similar trend line. You'd see that as the news spread, as some of the mandates came out, so you got the 50% capacity. I think some similar policy came out in California like it did in New York. And then it got to, you know, I think overall awareness grew. You could see the steady, you know, very, very quick and steady decline of the volume really on a day-to-day basis by the end of the week, once really they got to a point where bars were either choosing to close or there was the mandate that eventually came out that led to a quick decline that obviously in the beer volume.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand the Great Lakes had the biggest decline in the country. Do you have any idea why that is? I mean, up till now, they haven't really been a super hot area for the virus.
That was in the Great Lakes, I think it was in week two that we saw the big decline. We have quite a few, we have a concentration in that Chicago market. I know Chicago got, you know, a similar response, I think, overall to the crisis and the handling and really the preventative measures and policies that were put into place. We saw similar policies kind of unfold across these different markets, especially these higher dense, you know, the areas with the higher density. We saw some, you know, policies that kicked in to try to get to full closures and gatherings were not allowed and the bars were closed. So you saw a very similar, got to about 87% by the end of that second week for Chicago.
Yeah, that's pretty dramatic. Now, you were talking about how you were regrouping and rethinking and trying to figure out how to help the operators bounce back when this thing finally is lifted. You want to share your plans, and are those plans changed given yesterday's 2.25-hour briefing at the White House on the numbers and where they projected out, I think, much further than they had before?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely something that we're all as a country looking at, and it's a day-to-day updates and a day-to-day, timeline is getting unfolded and being updated. So yeah, I think we're just like everybody else. We're looking at it and kind of assessing the time frame, but it's not going to really change, you know, our overall approach. I mean, the reality is it's going to happen when it happens, and we want to be there and be ready to see if we can help as the bars. I mean, as you know, I think you covered. I saw some of the articles and some of the interviews that you've conducted over the last couple of weeks that, you know, this whole idea of this inventory that's out in the marketplace, that's, you know, it's perishable. It has an expiration. So we know that they're working on that. Some of the brewers are stepping up and trying to help retailers get credit for that and take that inventory out of the marketplace. So we're kind of monitoring that situation and what that affects, obviously, is your inventory levels and what you have on hand and what potential issues could they have if they do have product that could be, you know, coming to the expiration date. So I think that's one challenge, and we're hopeful that the supply chain, we can, that the bars can kind of send that product back that's in stock. And our whole approach is, how do we help them reset them? How do we help them reset their tap offerings, reset their coolers, and that really comes down to a couple of big points, right? One, what should I carry? So we think there's an opportunity here to kind of take a look at this and see, as an operator, how can you, how can we improve their profitability and cash flow by focusing on what the right products are to carry, and then it's how much to order and bring into the store. And that's, you know, that changes. Every store is different, and whether your local offering and your number of taps that you should have, it's all different store to store, and it's also different on how much you should stock to meet, you know, kind of that weekly demand.
Right. Do you think that the shortages that people have experienced in other parts of their life, I mean, in our area, in the D.C. area, some stores are still selling out of toilet paper the moment the truck arrives. Do you think that's going to influence the amount of inventory people are going to try to carry in the future? Or do you think they will go back to basically where they were, maybe because they just don't have room in their facilities to store more than they have been able to store thus far? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I mean, I think overall, they a restaurant is tight on space to begin with. I mean,
mm-hmm.
No matter what size of a restaurant, they're not really set up. You know, even when people are talking about doing to-go and how their operations are different, I mean, restaurants are a lot different than grocery stores. I mean, they have less space. They're not set up to do to-go. And I think that probably won't, you know, that hasn't changed before or after the crisis one way or the other. I mean, the restaurants are set up to carry, you know, they have limited space to begin with. So
mm-hmm.
what we see it is what we're recommending is really a hard look at exactly which brands and how many you should carry to meet. There was trends in the market already. You know, our whole job is to understand consumers and what the trends are and help really guide our operators on what the right brands are, what the right mix and right levels to carry. So we think there's opportunity there to be a little more efficient, and we can also help the GMs with technology and data to be more efficient on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis. So mm-hmm. we see it as GMs have a lot of they have a lot of responsibility, a lot of duties, especially when they come back in with all the labor challenges and scheduling and the staff and the fact that they now have to essentially reopen all these bars. They're going to have quite a bit on their plate. So our help here with Beer Board is, can we help each GM be a little more efficient, be a little bit more accurate, but let Beer Board help them with that, as opposed to, you know, spending mind share and time on some of those duties and tasks.
Mm-hmm. So what will you do? Will you prepare, if you will, individual layouts for the bars about what brands they should carry and how many taps each one should get and so on? Or how do you plan to do this?
Yeah, it's definitely that. It's right along those lines. We call it Project mm-hmm. Reset is what we call it internally. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, as everybody looks at their business and overall across, you know, all industries, right, they look at their business and what, you know, during this crisis, there's an opportunity to actually look at your business and say, coming out of this, what are some things that we could do a little bit differently, a little bit more efficient? So I think other, you know, as a whole, businesses are looking at ways to reset their business. And, you know, ours just, you know, I think it dovetails right into an inventory set and calling, you know, by us calling it reset, we're looking at it from a operational perspective, as well as the actual, you know, right down to resetting your cooler and your brand offering and your stock levels. So we could do exactly what you're saying is what we're working to do to produce, you know, what is essentially an order guide for GMs.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to work on that with our customers and explain here's how we can execute this in order to make it a little more efficient again for operators to open up. And also, you know, on an ongoing basis, can we help them be more efficient? And that's really all the things we've been working on. There's just some of the pieces of the solution. And I think some of the demand from operators now may just accelerate and become, you know, something that's you know, more needed now than ever. So
sure. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense to me. It really does. So tell us a little bit about Beer Board itself. You were the founder of Beer Board, and what gave you the idea? Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school? Where are you from? You know, have you lived in Syracuse all your life, or did you end up there working for I don't know who?
I lived in Syracuse my whole life. I went to the University at Albany, where I was by trade. I'm an accountant, so I came out and worked for one of the big, back then it was the big six firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers today, but it's Coopers and Lybrand. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a couple of years, but I ended up in really what I was always interested. I had more of the entrepreneurial spirit, the entire time. And I was really, I used maybe some of that education and background to help me start a business. And I got into the beer distribution business. That's really how Beer Board was born. I started off as a craft beer distributor back in 1998, you know, servicing, you know, from Buffalo to Albany, even south of Albany. So I had a big territory with some higher end brands. And ultimately we were looking for more efficiency when we service bars. So there was a gap in, you know, as you know, there's a, the industry is still a little bit archaic. There's a gap in information and technology in servicing all these stores. So as a smaller beer distributor, I was looking for an edge through technology, and that's really where Beer Board was born.
That's very cool. So do you still have your wholesale operation, or did you sell that off to somebody?
We sold that, and we sold different our brands to different distributors throughout upstate New York. And you know, when I looked into this, doing all the research and looking at how we could solve for some of the challenges that I saw really in the supply chain and what we're talking about, efficiency and delivery and order and stock, there's also challenges at the bar where they're losing 15 to 20% of their product because there's a lack of visibility. So we kind of looked at that and said, wow, this is a big opportunity that's even bigger than our beer distributorship and it potentially, and it could be, you know, we saw a big opportunity to build one platform where this data could be shared to create a more efficient supply chain, as well as fill some real, you know, practical voids that you know, existed and still exist in many ways today at the bar, behind the bar. So it was, you know, we really, we like to say we worked towards a cloud solution before there was even a cloud. So that was our whole, you know, that was our whole idea, was to share, you know, how do we efficiently have a platform that can service these multiple needs that we saw, really deficiencies in the beer supply chain.
Sure. And I gather from your background in the beer distribution business, I'm going to make an assumption that you think that there, especially given the limited space that bars have for storing stuff, that there's going to remain a need for beer distributors for some time to come.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I think there's that's not going to go away. There's a definite need that beer distributors fulfill, and obviously brewers are making these great products. But yeah, these bars are getting deliveries weekly, or sometimes even, you know, two or three times a week. So they're trying to service bars with fresh product, and retailers are looking for ways to better, you know, make that easier for their GMs to order and maintain an inventory. And, you know, I don't see that changing anytime soon. I mean, it's definitely a highly regulated marketplace, but at the same time, you know, these are all local establishments, and they require quite a bit of service.
Sure.
As you pointed out. Yeah.
Sure. So, how soon do you think after this virus situation starts tapering down that people will be able to get back into business? I mean, obviously some of that depends upon what the government says, but let's say the government said at the end of this week that next week you can open back up again. How long do you think it will take for everybody to get ramped back up?
I mean, I think it depends on a couple things, right? As you said, what's the government, what are the guidelines here? Is it going to be phased in for 50% type occupancy rules to start? And you know, I don't think anybody's really exactly clear on that, but we've all heard different you know, some different potential outcomes and policies. You know, I think it depends also on the operator. You know, for every operation is a little bit different. And again, we work with independents, but we also work with large, you know, some of the largest national accounts that are really going to have a coordinated effort. And, you know, we're focused on staffing, you know, to start. You have to get all the hourly employees and get that ramp back up. But, you know, again, I think these operators, you know, are very good at what they do. And I think they can do it relatively quickly. As you just said, you know, beer distributors are local and they'll be ready to deliver product, I think, within days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, is there anything that we've not asked you that you think we really should have asked you?
I think right now, no, I don't think there's, I think I have as many questions as you do, right, about the timing of this, you know, when this is going to subside and when we can get back into business. So I think that's, you know, those are some questions that I don't think any of us have a precise answer to, and we're all watching day by day. It's a day by day situation, I think.
Yeah, Mark, I was going to say that, you know, it strikes me that probably nobody in the country has a really firm idea yet. You've just said you don't. I know I don't. I don't think the major brewers and spirits people and so on have an idea when this is going to start to ramp back up. And I don't think even the federal government has. You know, I don't think Fauci has. I don't think Dr. Birx has. And I don't think the president
right.
has. I think we're all just sort of in, you know, territory that we're not, you know, we're sailing down the river, but we don't have a roadmap or depth chart, I guess I should say.
Yeah, and I think the, you know, we got hit with a crisis, and now, you know, definitely the health of the country, right, and the people and keeping people safe, that's a priority. And now it's, you know, now you're trying to balance both. We're looking at the economy, right? How are some of these are all small, you know, to some degree, even the large accounts, each one is a small operation that has, you know, a big staff, right? So you're talking mm-hmm. about individual small businesses that the impact of the economy is great. So how do we overcome that too? So you get a hit from, you know, your existing business and your traffic, and that has a major economic impact. So what my hope is that they're still working through some of these details and executing this $2 trillion plus stimulus package. So, you know, how is that going to be executed, and can that help, you know, sustain and help offset some of this large hit that the industry is taking right now? I mean, I think that's an important piece before even getting, you know, moving to resetting and getting back into operations. You have to, you know, really be able to get through this, you know, what's going to be, whether it's going to be a month or 2 months or 3 months, you know, how are these individual operations and, you know, even large companies, how can they, you know, offset and overcome this big hit that they're taking? And I'm, you know, I'm hopeful. I've talked to a couple of people about it. I was hopeful that the insurance companies, and there could be some stimulus funds that flow through insurance, but because this is a huge interruption of business, right? And that's going to be important too, to help the operators get back on their feet to, you know, get through this economic crisis. As much as it's a health crisis, it's also, you know, as we all know, a major economic crisis.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll go on the record and say I don't trust insurance companies to step up to the plate on this. I bet they have an exclusion somewhere in there, because you know their whole business model is based upon taking the money in and not paying it out. So you know,
exactly right. So
I suspect it's going to be a cold day in hell. You know,
and that's what I heard too, Joe. That for the most part, a pandemic or disease is not covered by the business interruption.
Right.
Policy. Right. So that's where the government, you know, I know the National Restaurant Association was looking for that as one of the components, right. Could this be determined as, you know, could it be ruled that it falls under the business interruption insurance policy, which it's still, that hasn't happened. So, you know, whether, you know, look, I mean, is there clearly any more of a business interruption than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks? And the fact that insurance can sit on the sidelines, I don't know, it doesn't really add up to me, you know. But
nor to me, but you know, that is one of the mysteries of life.
Right. So that's all. You know, I'm just looking at it from how they recover too, and part of that is your, you know, how you've been hit economically and the business and being able to recover, whether it's a small business that's a one-off bar or a major national account. I mean, I think that's still being determined, and that's, you know, we haven't seen that fully executed by any means. So we're hopeful that that's done, you know, to help, you know, help the industry, help our clients, and help really that's going to help the economy move forward.
Right. So if anybody wants to reach out to you, how would they get a hold of you?
They can go right to our website, is beerboard.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that has all our contact information there, a lot about the company, and as well as ways to reach us.
Great. So, Mark Young, I want to thank you very much for your time. I'm going to ask you to stand by for 1 second after we end the recording. But thank you so much for your time here. It's been great talking to you. I hope that your optimism is firmly grounded and will make us all happy in about 2 or 3 months, which would be my guess on the time frame before things start to open up. But we'll have to see. So, so if anybody wants to reach out to you, beerboard.com is the best way to do it, and it'll get to either you or to one of your colleagues, and they will take it from there.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, Joel.
Well, thanks so much. We appreciate your time, and thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll be with you again soon. Bye-bye.